our view on the startup discussion is that it needs to be collaborative dialogue. Can we work through the issues and address so that true innovation can occur, and that at the same time, because one of our most important jobs, as I talked about, is consumer protection.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we dive deep into insurance innovation. So, you know, I want to let you all know that I've been recognized as an insurance innovator to watch from Diggin, a digital insurance publication. And I do want to say thank you to Diggin for that recognition. You know, there were 26 of us on that list. And, you know, I believe that all of those that were represented by that list are really going to make a significant impact on the innovation space within insurance. So, you know, I want to say thanks to Diggin for that recognition. I do really appreciate that. You know, this week I had an opportunity also to speak at InsurTech Rising. So this right now, it's actually being recorded before InsurTech Rising, but because of the conference, getting the recording done and making sure that you all have an opportunity to hear the guest here. But, you know, with that opportunity, I hope you all enjoyed the conference. And also, I hope you all had a good opportunity to hear the thoughts that I had around insurance and insurance innovation. And hopefully, you got some value out of it, you know, just talking about innovating a 300-year-old industry, and then also driving what the insurance value proposition of tomorrow really is. So, you know, if you were at in the InsurTech Rising conference, you know, I do hope that you got as much as you can from the discussions and the panel discussion that I was either on or that I drove. So, and last but not least, I do want to announce that in October, I will be speaking at InsurTech Connect in Las Vegas. And I'm really excited to be able to provide the thought leadership around what's happening from an innovation perspective to the participants, the 6,000 plus participants that's going to be at InsurTech Connect in October in Vegas. So, you know, I'm really excited to do that. You know, I hope that, again, the thought leadership that I will have the opportunity to provide will really help you to hone in on the message around what's happening from an insurance innovation perspective. So before we jump in, I do want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. So today I'm speaking with Katie Wade. Now, Katie's the current commissioner of the Connecticut Division of Insurance. You know, Katie, I've been really excited to have this discussion with you, really to get an understanding of what Connecticut is thinking about insurance and innovation. So, you know, I just want to say welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you, Abel. It's great to be with you.
Hey, you know, so, Katie, you know, just I want to set the stage so people know you and where you came from with your expertise in the insurance industry. So, you know, if you don't mind, just talk to me and our audience about your history within insurance.
Sure. So I certainly never expected to go into the insurance industry. There were members of my family that worked in the industry, and I, you know, growing up, I was like, I'm never doing that. But I got an unbelievable opportunity to go to work for the Cigna companies, and where I worked for over 20 years in a variety of roles in government affairs, public policy, and compliance. And when I first went to work for the company, it was a five-line company, and so they had great exposure to individual life insurance, group life insurance, property and casualty, reinsurance, and obviously health and disability insurance. And as the company evolved, as the industry evolved, you know, I had really interesting experiences. And when I left the company, I was responsible for their government affairs, both state and federal, public policy, as well as compliance for their U.S. operations. And we worked very closely, because Cigna's in over 30 countries around the globe, worked very closely with our colleagues across the globe as we addressed compliance and business issues around the company. So it was a very exciting, you know, time to work in the industry, watch it evolve. And then I took some time off to figure out what I wanted to do next. And I certainly never expected to be insurance commissioner. And it was an exciting opportunity that presented itself.
You know, so Katie, that's an interesting history with your expansive background within the insurance industry and now being the insurance commissioner for Connecticut. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Connecticut and Hartford. So, you know, what's the importance of insurance to the Hartford and the Connecticut economies? And how is the division of insurance interplaying with that importance of the insurance industry to those economies?
Sure. So insurance has a long and very rich history in Connecticut that, you know, dates back over 200 years. And actually, the insurance department in Connecticut has been around for, it's about 152 years now, because in my first year as commissioner, we celebrated our 150th year. And, you know, Hartford has long been recognized as an insurance center. And for Connecticut, the insurance industry is number one as a percentage of total employment in the state. We have the highest concentration of actuaries in the country, and insurance is number one for a payroll as part of total payroll for the state. So we have more than 60,000 full-time jobs in the insurance carriers, and about 114,000 in indirect jobs. So for every insurance job that's created in Connecticut, another 1.92 jobs are indirectly created as part of the economy. And Connecticut is also in the top three for U.S. for total direct written premium of over $33 billion. We're number one in health insurance premiums. We're number four in life insurance premiums, and number five in property and casualty premiums. And the industry contributes more than almost $14 billion to Connecticut's gross domestic product. And, you know, obviously that's significant. And we have more than almost 1,500 domestic and non-domestic insurance companies. We have 110 domestic companies, you know, some of the very big writers. And it's a, you know, very rich history here that continues and grows. And the department, you know, has three main missions. The most important mission, which is overarching and things fall under, is consumer protection. So we want to make sure that companies remain solvent so they can keep their promises to consumers. We want to ensure that there's market competition so that consumers have a choice of carriers as well as products and services. So all of it, you know, all of these functions that we perform are part of, you know, consumer protection, but they're obviously very part of making sure that we have a rich industry here and market competition. And here at the department, we have over 150 regulatory professionals who work every day to help consumers. We have seven different divisions. We have our largest division is our financial regulation division. We also have a consumer affairs division, folks that work day-to-day, helping people, answering questions, solving issues they may have through claims process. We have a life and health division that regulates the life and health industry, the property and casualty division that regulates, you know, the property and casualty market. We also have a market conduct unit that reviews companies to make sure they're in compliance with all our laws and regulations. And in that division, they also have licensed insurance professionals. We also have a captive division. Connecticut was, you know, later to the party on captives, but we have a great team of folks that are working to encourage captives, the use of captives appropriately, as well as we have, you know, we have an actuarial department and a legal department. So there's lots of folks here working every day to make Connecticut a great place to do business.
Katie, what I have to say is, you know, with me, my background is within the insurance industry as well. And I've been in the industry for quite some time. And, even more recently, before I started my new role in innovation, I led the commercial lines product management division to design and develop all of the products for a large insurer. Now, you know, Connecticut, I have to say, was one of the most knowledgeable divisions of insurance that I dealt with for with the people that's there that really connected to help me understand what the requirements were from a regulatory perspective. You know, as I was trying to either introduce new products or as I was trying to do something that was new and innovative that we may not have that we may not have seen before within our industry. Now, innovation in insurance is something that we're starting to see the impact, and it's impacting the long-term value proposition of this great insurance industry. Now, with innovation comes new business models, but that needs to bleed also into the regulatory environment. So, you know, Katie, if you don't mind, just talk to me a little bit about how DOIs are engaging insurtechs and incumbents that are hoping to innovate the insurance value chain.
No, absolutely. It's very exciting to see, it's an industry that had not in the past embraced technology and is now, you know, with great speed and embracing technology and innovation and looking at, you know, non-traditional players and what are the opportunities. So from a regulator's perspective, we are reaching out to startups early in the process so we can educate them, we can understand what they're trying to do. You know, our regulatory support organization, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, that you know helps all 56 commissioners do our jobs better every day, has a number of working groups that there's an innovation and technology task force where we're regularly bringing folks in to talk to us about you know what they're doing in the marketplace, both traditional players as well as new startups and new players in the market. We also have a big data working group because obviously big data is transforming the industry. And we're trying to be better educated about those things. I think one of the things that I think is important from a regulatory perspective is to let folks know that we're here. We want to talk to them about what's going on. We want to talk to them early in the process. And you know, we have looked very hard at the structure of regulation, and there are real opportunities for us to, you know, can we improve and streamline? Can we get rid of antiquated and outdated requirements as companies are trying to innovate through the market?
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's very important, you know, where you have that innovation and technology task force and the big data working groups, because I think that's really where a lot of the insurtechs as well as the incumbent carriers are hoping to figure out where there really are those opportunities to innovate and how to do it within the boundaries of what the regulatory requirements were. Now, you know, when I think about where you are situated in Connecticut, you know, Hartford itself, it's having a resurgence of the insurance industry. And the Hartford InsurTech Hub, along with Startup Bootcamp and a lot of these startups that are taking part in their program, you know, they recently had their first cohort of startups graduating the program. Now, I guess my question for you is, why is this important for both Hartford, Connecticut, and then also the insurance industry?
So, I think it's important. We would say we're not necessarily, I might argue with you about the resurgence here of insurance in Hartford, because we have always been and continue to be. But, you know, Hartford is an insurance center that's recognized across the globe. And what's so exciting because of the concentration of insurance companies and talents we have here is the Hartford InsurTech Hub Startup Bootcamp. It's an important addition to our rich insurance community. And you know, creating an InsurTech hub and innovation here is a natural progression to build and grow, you know, the InsurTech ecosystem here. Our traditional carriers have embraced innovation and technology, and there's great synergy. You know, it's made sense to have an InsurTech here in Hartford, not only because of the insurance community, but there's also our strategic location between Boston and New York. It creates a great opportunity. And it's so exciting to see the insurance community partnering with the startups, as well as serving as mentors and helping the InsurTech startups as they go along, and serving as a source of experimentation for the innovators.
Absolutely. You know, even myself personally, you know, I serve both as a mentor and also as an advisor to some of the startups that are there as a part of the Hartford InsurTech Hub and the Startup Bootcamp program. And I've watched a lot of them go from the point of, you know, ideation in terms of what they were hoping to do to really putting together a product that's going to have significant impact to the insurance value chain. And, you know, and what I see in their eyes, and even as I you know, talk to them, and me personally, as I used to reside in the Hartford area, you know, I always see a sense of pride and you know, really proud at the fact that you can say that these things are continuing to be formulated and done in Hartford, you know, with these incumbent carriers that are providing a lot of these subject matter expertise and mentorships to the startups that are taking part in this program. Now, you yourself recently, before the demo day, had the opportunity to tour the facilities. You know, so talk to me about this and what impressed you most about the mission of the startups and of this program.
Sure. So it was my second opportunity to actually tour. So it was I was there at the very, you know, very beginning, and then it was great to be there a couple of weeks ago. And what impressed me the most is the enthusiasm and the energy and the collaboration that's going on among the companies that are working together. And we had the opportunity to meet with the startups and have them talk about their concepts, you know, how they're going through the process. But it also presented another opportunity for us as regulators to have them ask us questions about things that they want to know more about. What regulatory considerations should they be thinking about? How different issues are viewed from a regulatory perspective? And then, you know, I had the opportunity to attend Demo Day, which was just terrific. And watching, you know, hearing the perspective from the mentors that have been working with the companies, and then watching the pitches from the 10 startups was really, really exciting. And it's just amazing stuff that's going on here.
It is. It really is amazing stuff that's going on there. And honestly, you know, as I look, you know, even more broadly across, you know, the industry in terms of where these startups are trying to innovate, I really see great opportunity for the industry to partner with and to integrate these startups into the insurance community and do a partnership that's going to help to drive additional value throughout the value chain. Now, you know, a lot of these innovators and startups, as they're trying to do things differently and innovate the value chain and transform the industry, sometimes they do run into regulatory challenges because they're not as well versed in the regulatory requirements in the legislation that a lot of the incumbent carriers that has relationships with you know, regulators like yourself and other states. You know, so now there's this concept that I've seen globally in other industries known as a regulatory sandbox, where startups or incumbents and regulators get together to solve issues, which then make innovation more effective, and it helps innovation to occur more rapidly. You know, so I guess the question for you is, should regulators domestically in the insurance space deploy the regulatory sandbox concept to continue to drive innovation and, you know, transformation in our industry?
So, you know, it's a really interesting question, which, you know, we are, you know, considering on a regular basis. I think, you know, what we encourage is the dialogue between the regulators and the companies, you know, the traditional companies as well as the startups as they go through the process and are coming into the market, and have them talk about what the issues are. I mean, to date, you know, we have had companies come in here to talk about, you know, what they're doing. We have figured out ways to address, you know, potential regulatory issues, saying, oh, you can't do it this way, but here's a way to do it. And, you know, we have new products in the, you know, new product entrance, new market entrance. And, you know, I think there's the opportunity for a collaborative dialogue. And we looked at, you know, as a department, we looked at, you know, the laws and regulations we have on the books, because there are, you know, some proposals out there to consider, you know, various ways to approach innovation. And, you know, as we looked at our laws and regulations, we determined that, you know, there's a great deal of power that as commissioner I have here in Connecticut to waive some of the regulatory requirements as appropriate to foster innovation. And so, you know, it's a collaborative, you know, our view on the startup discussion is that it needs to be collaborative dialogue, and can we work through the issues and address so that true innovation can occur, and that at the same time, because one of our most important job, as I talked about, is consumer protection, we need to make sure that, you know, as products are being tested, that people, you know, are protected in the process of that, and that they also, you know, understand that they're being part of something that's new and being tried, and they should participate in the process of that. So those are, you know, it's an important space, and you know, we talk regularly across the country with our colleagues and with our international colleagues about how we can incent innovation and encourage as much as we can, at the same time protecting consumers.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely spot on, Katie. You know, the foundation of what, you know, you're doing within this insurance industry, it really is the consumer protection. And I look at that, you know, from a carrier perspective, it's really much the same. You know, the carrier is here to make sure that we can make the consumer first. So I always say that everything that we do as a carrier should be consumer centric. And that starts even with when we're trying to design new business models, and also do things to innovate and make things easier for the customer. Now, you know, so we're talking about innovation from the carrier, from the startup side, you know, but as you see yourself as a, you know, the regulatory body or the division of insurance, you know, what is the Connecticut Division of Insurance doing in regards to innovation for its own business models and operations and to really consume some of the new technologies and concepts from both carriers and insurtech organizations?
So, you know, it's a great question, because, you know, one of the things that is really important as an individual state and across the country is, how do we improve our business model? How do we make ourselves more accessible? How do we improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our organization, and as well as stay on the cutting edge of what products and services and companies are coming along in the process. And I'm fortunate to, you know, work for a governor that believes that efficiency in government is a really important part of what we do. And so he's a big proponent of lean and looking at how we do things and how can we improve them. And so we've undertaken an exercise here at the department to, you know, go division by division to look at efficiency and effectiveness of the department. So we have spent a lot of time with our life and health division, as well as our property and casualty division, looking at how we review products and rates. Because we had, you know, we were not necessarily on the cutting edge of being efficient and effective in doing that. And so over the course of the last several years, we have really improve the efficiency and effectiveness of how we review products to protect consumers, but also make sure that consumers have more choices by getting through the approval process and getting products out in the marketplace for people. So, you know, we're very proud of the fact that we are now, both in our life and health division and in our property and casualty division, reviewing products in 30 days or less, which is a regulatory, best practice. And we're very proud that we've achieved that. We've also been working to eliminate inefficiency in improving process in our financial regulation division. You know, the financial examiners are very talented here at the department, but they were very wedded to their paper. And so we've gotten them to move to an electronic system, which helps not only with business continuity, but it's also improved the information sharing between examiners that are here at the department every day and the examiners that are out at companies, you know, our field examiners that are, you know, sitting down in the companies and reviewing day-to-day in their office. It was very hard for them to give it up, but now that they've embraced it, they do love it. We also license more than 200,000 agents, brokers, adjusters, and bail bonds agents. So we've made significant improvements to how we provide information, improved online resources. We did really simple things like improve the phone system so that if you have a question, you get to the right, you know, we change the prompts. I mean, this is not really hard stuff, but it's making sure that people, you know, get to the right resource to answer their question and on the first time, as opposed to getting rolled around in the department. We also, you know, improved the online payment portal so folks can renew things online in such a way. And we've done online renewals as well. So we're now emailing people as opposed to sending out the you know, paper notice. So that's been exciting. And we're in the process of rolling out an improvement to our company licensing department. But we've also been looking at, you know, what are the things within the department, seasoning requirements, changing our positions. You know, it's important to have some aspect of seasoning, but we have looked at and are, you know, approving companies based off of the experience and other things that are taken into consideration as through the process of licensure. What are the other things that we can do to make things more efficient and more effective so that companies, both, you know, traditional players as well as startups, can, you know, do business here in the state of Connecticut, and we're here to help them through the process of it.
I have to say, you know, just to hear you talk about all of the things that you're doing, even within your own business structures and processes to help create efficiency and, you know, speed and effectiveness, it's really refreshing to hear that. And it's because I think to the point that you're making, what you're really trying to do is make sure that you're protecting the consumer. And if there are things that are creating inefficiencies on your way to doing that, you know, I feel like what you're saying is that you're trying to streamline those in order to make things more effective and efficient to meet your end goal. So, you know, it's just so refreshing to hear that, you know, from an organization like the Connecticut Division of Insurance. You know, now there's just been so much happening out there in the insurance space from an innovation and from a transformation perspective. So, you know, on the horizon, you know, what do you see as the view and the vision for the future of insurance?
And that's a really interesting question, because we think about this a lot. Okay, so where is this all going, right? So as we get more information, as data improves, as more things become automated, how does risk management change as we move to more loss prevention and less risk transfer? You know, how does that work, and what will that mean to the long-term future of you know, obviously our incumbent and traditional players here, and you know, and they're thinking a lot about it. Improve loss prevention, are there services around that they can help people manage their business through the process of that? And that's really kind of exciting. Also, as you get more and more individualized, and we get more data, are we still spreading risk across the risk pool, the insurance risk pool? And I think that's an interesting challenge for us all. I mean, are we going to get to a point where, you know, certain products fall much more on a liability side and follow the individual as opposed to, you know, the broader risk pool? These are, you know, things we worry about because we want to make sure we're understanding what's happening. Also, what are the new risks that are going to emerge from all of this technology and innovation? What don't we know about? What's on the horizon, and how do we get ahead of that to understand it? As well as, you know, simplifying the, you know, we're going to see much more simple products as we move forward. You know, it's, people are going to see, you know, it's going to be focused on the customer experience, you know, the ease of the purchase renewal, what's the claim experience, how can we interact with consumers? Certainly in the health space, we're seeing much stronger partnership to help people manage their lifestyle, manage their health risks. How can we improve, keep people healthier so that they can, you know, do the things that they want to do as they move through their life. And so it's, you know, very exciting time. And, you know, what's really the other piece of it is the workforce. So we have an aging workforce, but what I've been particularly excited about is the fact that all this things that are going on in insurtech and innovation is actually getting young people really excited about coming to work in the insurance industry. We have a jobs fair here that's sponsored by the Metro Hartford Alliance, and I've been going to it for the last 3 years. And this year, it was unbelievable. There were more than 600 people that were about to graduate or looking for internships as they go through the process, with standing with their resumes, really excited about what was going on in the industry. And it was, you know, talking about what they wanted to do, predictive analytics, you know, they wanted to do data science, they wanted to be, you know, actuaries are really important and will continue to be very important in the insurance business. And so getting that young workforce to, be a part of, where the industry is going, so that we are, having high value, customer facing experiences for people as they go through their life with insurance.
Absolutely. You know, Katie, so recently, just actually this past Friday, I did a webinar, for insurance industry experts and folks in the industry. And I was really talking about exactly what you mentioned in regards to that workforce and the change in workforce and knowing that by 2020, roughly about 400,000 individuals out of the insurance industry are going to be retiring. And what we recognized was, even 10 or so years ago, when you asked a newer employee whether or not they would consider insurance as a career option, it was less than 2% of those employees that even looked at insurance as an option to go in beyond their education. Today that's changed significantly. So I love the fact that when we talk about this new workforce that's coming in to work within the insurance industry, they're also bringing along the expectations when you start to think about what's driving the customer experience, but also the subject matter expertise around some of these new technologies that they may already be used to doing and using, things like artificial intelligence and potentially pinning the foundations of blockchain into some of the things that they've been working through and some of the things that they've been using. So I think that helps to then create a different perspective as you start to bring new people into the insurance industry. So Katie, one of the things that I always ask, to bring this home when people are listening to myself and to folks like you talk about the future and talk about the innovations that's occurring in this industry, to bring that different perspective is, if someone wanted to think differently about their jobs and wanted to innovate and transform what they're doing within this industry or others and challenge the status quo to create favorable outcomes, what advice could you give them just to think and do things differently?
So I think people should continue, should think about challenge the status quo. I think they should, look at the opportunities within their own organization. But what I've been particularly impressed with lately is the number of folks that have traditional day-to-day jobs, in this industry and in others, and in their spare time, they're working on, new ideas, concepts, participating with, in the InsurTech Hub, trying to make connections between different organizations and players in the marketplace. And so what I would encourage people is not only within their own companies, which, is certainly, an important part, but also what are the other opportunities beyond where you can use, your experience to, look outside the box and create opportunities around, around your traditional day-to-day.
Absolutely. So Katie, I want to say, thank you so much for taking time this morning to talk to me about, what Connecticut and what the Connecticut Division of Insurance is doing in regards to innovation and partnering with both incumbents and new entrants and startups into the insurance space. If folks wanted to learn more about what you all are doing at the Connecticut Division of Insurance, what's the best way for them to do that and to get in contact with people that can help them understand?
Okay, so our website is www.ct.gov/CID, and folks can get in touch with me at 860-297-3985, or my email address is Katherine, which is Katharine.Wade@ct.gov.
Perfect. Well, Kate, once again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm just looking forward to continuing to watch how you all are driving the charge and leading, just from this discussion, the charge around how we're engaging and partnering in the insurance space with the incumbents and also the innovators.
Well, great. Abel, it's been great to talk to you. And thanks for the opportunity today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. Now, I hope you got a lot from what Katie and I talked about here today in regards to the regulator's perspective of insurance innovation. So, you know, I'm still going to be bringing a lot of different topics to the podcast. And if there's anything that you want to hear, just shoot me a message and we'll try to get them on. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.